Welcome to Dakota Midday. I'm Lori Walsh. Thanks for listening. It's December 21st. By now, you're probably sick of hearing Mariah Carey sing about what's not on her Christmas list. Richard Cromwell is a writer for The Federalist. He'll join us in a moment to discuss the most torturous tunes of the season. But first, I'd like to invite Steve Zwemke to join us on air. Steve is the host of South Dakota Public Broadcasting's No Cover, No Minimum. And he's also here with us daily on Dakota Midday, even when you can't hear his voice. Steve Zwemke, thanks for being on the microphone today.
That's pretty good. I get to be on the air even before Rich, our guest.
Welcome.
Thanks.
Because it's been 2 weeks and I would not have made it through the first 2 weeks without you, Steve. So
I don't know about that. Okay.
We'd also like to invite you, our listeners, to call or email us with the Christmas songs you love to hate. Phone number here is 800-524-3604. That's 800-524-3604. Email us at midday@sdpb.org. Let's bring Richard Cromwell into the conversation now. Cromwell is a writer for The Federalist. He has selected the top 10 worst songs of Christmas for us to have some fun with today. Richard Cromwell joins us from Bentonville, Arkansas. Welcome to Dakota Midday.
Hey, thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
Now, of all the cultural battles we fight during the Christmas season, you say this one stands above them all. What are the worst songs? Is that are you standing by that statement? This is the biggest cultural battle?
For Christmas, I'm standing by that statement. Nothing incites passion and anger and harsh words like telling someone you do not like their favorite Christmas song.
And I feel like Owen DeYoung played the best music ever for us on Morning Classics, and we're about to ruin it all with some of the worst songs out there. So let's start out. We'll play a clip with number 10. This is Richard Cromwell's choice for the 10th worst Christmas song ever. I saw Mommy kissing Santa Claus. What's the big deal, Rich?
Okay, either Mom needs to take a look back at her wedding vows. I know that Santa is a magical, right, jolly old elf, and mistletoe is mistletoe, but Mommy does not need to be kissing Santa Claus underneath the mistletoe. Or if Santa Claus is more likely, actually Dad in this equation, they've got a room. Why is the kid seeing that?
I have to confess, this song, when I was a child, my mother had to sit down and actively explain it to me because I was stressed out by it, and she had to tell me, no, it's Daddy. It's okay. I was a sensitive child.
See, if it's scarring children, then that just makes it worse.
You should cross it off the list immediately if it's scarring children. Steve, what are your thoughts on this one?
It's not one of my favorites. Rich, you had examples on your website with videos. Is it the message of the song, or is it this version of the song? Because obviously this is not the original.
It was just the message of the song. I didn't necessarily go for any specific version. Basically, any version of any one of these songs, it still belongs on the list.
Do you know who sang the original? Do we know that? I didn't look that up. Does anyone know?
I don't know.
It doesn't matter at some point. It's just every cover of it is terrible.
Yes.
You probably can't make it good. Let's go to number 9.
I
And that's Mariah Carey singing All I Want for Christmas. What could be wrong with that? It's anti-materialistic, isn't it, Rich?
It is anti-materialistic, but does anyone really believe Mariah, the diva, Carey, is that's really all she wants for Christmas is you? And it comes from a movie. My wife's next to me, so if you hear me get slugged, she likes it. But I am not a fan of Love Actually, which does not help All I Want for Christmas Is You.
I think the main thing this song has going against it is overexposure.
Yes.
You just hear it way too much. Steve, what do you think?
I'm kind of seeing a theme here among Rich's top three, and I guess we can maybe get into that a little bit after we hear the number eight song. Am I going in the right direction, Rich?
You are kind of going in the right direction.
Okay.
Now, the video for this, though, has puppies and snow and a baby bunny, and I like all three of those things. So I actually like the video for All I Want for Christmas.
I did endorse watching the video with the sound off.
Okay, there we go. Good to know. All right, number eight is up next. Let's hear it.
Ba-boom, 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 ba-boom.
Santa baby, just slip a sable under the tree for me. Been an awful good girl, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight.
This one is Santa Baby. It's originally from 1953. That version is sung by Miss Eartha Kitt. Rich?
Is this the same woman from I Saw Mommy Kissing Santa Claus and now her demands have just grown? I mean, Santa Claus is kind of a sugar daddy, but she's just it's so overt with Santa Baby. And the demands are, I mean, leave us sable under the tree. I think she asked for a diamond or platinum mine at some point, a brand new car. Eartha's list of demands, and any version again is bad, but her list of demands is pretty high, and she's not so subtle in what she's offering to exchange for these gifts.
I think, though, this song, you have to argue, has more sophisticated writing than Santa Baby. The rhyme scheme is a lot better. It's smart. Allison Nash did a version of this on our Dakota Midday Show with Kara Hetland a couple weeks ago that was quite beautiful. So I think it can be done well.
I'll have to you'll have to find a way to send that to me so I can check it out. I could be wrong here.
I could agree with all three of the songs Rich has in his top 10 so far. Rich sounds to me like more of a traditionalist after hearing these first three.
I'm going to disagree because I like this one. It has hyperbole. It has euphemism. You can read between the lines, and it's a little something funny.
Oh, you can read between the lines,
yeah.
Indeed.
On that note, let's go straight to number seven.
Right, the spirit's up, we're here tonight, and that's enough, simply having a wonderful
wonderful Christmas time, Paul McCartney. We could have let that play longer, but it's essentially the same thing over and over again. Right, Rich?
Very much so. Paul McCartney of the Beatles is a very talented songwriter. Wonderful Christmas time, and is an example of Paul McCartney not being a wonderful songwriter. I don't know if there's like a hidden thing there where he got this keyboard for Christmas, you know, the ones we used to get in the 80s where you'd get the keyboard and you'd put 40D batteries into it and then play it. I don't know if he used one of those to write that awful, awful synthesizer that sounds like it played underwater for Wonderful Christmas Time, but it just grates on the ears. It is a soul-sucking song that does not put me in the spirit.
I have a feeling it was written to be played at the mall.
Yes.
I think our tech radio guys were actually offering that Casio keyboard as one of their Christmas gift selections this year.
And if you watch the video of this, they're just having a whole lot of fun. Paul and Linda have their worst haircuts during the filming of this video, and there's a lot of sleigh bells. I think every percussionist just gets out the sleigh bells and has a good time at Christmas, but Linda's playing her tambourine the entire time. I don't think there's actually a tambourine in the song. I think it's just a prop.
Does she ever play anything, or did she ever play anything but the tambourine?
I don't know. I think she played keyboards, didn't she? Who knows? She played the keyboard that was given to her for Christmas, the cheap one.
Yes.
When this song came out, Rich, were there a lot of Christmas songs coming from artists like Paul McCartney?
I think that was kind of the end. I was a little young then, but I think that kind of was the end of pop musicians writing Christmas songs. It's just not done anymore. I think Mariah really does. That's why it's played so much, is she was the last major star to write a Christmas song. But I think it was more popular then with It's a Wonderful Christmas, or there were those albums that came out every year, every Christmas for a couple of years there. And I'm not sure if McCartney was on that or if he just got paid on his own, but yeah.
So we need to go back. Our own Gary Ellenbolt says that I Saw Mommy Kissing Santa Claus was originally done by Jimmy Boyd. So there's your trivia for today. I would like to say Gary Ellenbolt has gotten way too into this conversation today. All morning long, he's been sending me his least favorite Christmas songs.
He only had about 10 minutes to go on the internet and get that one, though.
Number six.
Hey, jingity jing, it's Dominic the donkey. Jingity jing, the Italian Christmas donkey. La 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 la. Santa's got a little friend, his name is Dominic. The cutest little donkey, you never see him kick. When Santa visits his paisans with Dominic, he'll be. Because the reindeer cannot climb the hills of Italy. Hey, jingity jing, it's Dominic the donkey. Jingity jing.
Dominic the donkey, I've never even heard of this song until today.
Oh, it's relatively new for me. I think I heard of it for the first time last year. Before, but it is a song that some people really, really love, and I can't figure out why, because, in Italy, reindeer can't get around, but why a donkey? Why do you want to make a Christmas song that's got a man, grown man going, hee-haw, hee-haw, a lot?
The reindeer fly, so they can get around Italy just fine, can't they?
Yeah, that's a good point. So I'm not real sure, and I mean, there's, you know, maybe the Catholicism thing, but... that having a donkey is still a very loose tie to the manger.
It's
so
biblical, you think? I don't think so. We're speechless on Dominic the Donkey. We don't really even know
what to
say. There's
got to be some children's attraction there, though.
Yeah.
Just the dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun.
He sang for us. Number five.
Sir, I want to buy these shoes. For my mama, please. It's Christmas Eve and these shoes are just her size. Could you hurry soon? Daddy says there's not much time. You see, she's been sick for quite a while.
make her smile. Want her to look beautiful if mama meets Jesus tonight.
It's the Christmas Shoes, not just a song.
Yeah, it's a book and a movie also. I haven't endured either one of those. But the only argument I've gotten about the Christmas Shoes was that it should have been number one. But I've kind of grown fond of saying about this list, you know, I did rank them, but really they're all winners or all losers, depending on how you want to look at it. But the Christmas Shoes, it's just, I get the sentiment. Not everybody has all their needs met, and this time of year is a good time to think about the less fortunate, but maybe not by making them feel completely terrible about their station in life or making other people just feel guilty. And also the singing and just, oh, it's just a terrible song.
The message is kind of a tearjerker, isn't it, though?
Yeah.
like a Red Solvine song or something.
There are two things I do really easily and really well. One is laugh, and the other is cry. And this song makes me want to do both, sometimes at the same time.
You'll cry when you see the video, but it's not because of the message.
Right. Number four is a tie.
All I want for Christmas is my two front teeth. My two front teeth, see my two front teeth. Gee, if I could only have my two front teeth, then I could wish you Merry Christmas. It seems so long since I could say, Sister Susie sitting on a thistle.
All I want for Christmas is my two front teeth. Richard?
So for this one, I kind of just went for the whole subgenre of whiny kids. The Chipmunks would also be included in this. Christmas songs. It's kind of the complete opposite end of the spectrum from the Christmas Shoes. Like, whereas the Christmas Shoes is just too depressing, this is just too stupid. Just grating and annoying. And then the other one on, you know, that I said was, all I want a hippopotamus for Christmas. And yes, children ask for ridiculous things for Christmas, but a hippopotamus, come on, it would destroy your house and then kill you. It's not a good Christmas present.
So the thing with All I Want for Christmas is My Two Front Teeth also is it's actively used to torture children when they lose their front teeth.
Yes.
Every adult sing it to them to embarrass them.
Yes.
So again, like Santa, I Saw Mommy Kissing Santa. It should be thrown out just because it tortures children.
Yes.
We can't not play the hippopotamus song. We better play an excerpt from that.
I want a hippopotamus for Christmas. Only a hippopotamus will do. I want a hippopotamus to play with and enjoy. I want a hippopotamus for Christmas. I don't think Santa Claus will...
There is the rounding out number four slot with a little more whining. Let's go straight to number three because this is one of our favorites. That is Wham! Singing Last Christmas. Rich?
First, there is a possibility that Paul McCartney also wrote that song. And it was the runner-up to A Wonderful Christmas Time. But it's I love the 80s, but not that 80s. It's just George Michael pretending that he's giving his heart to a woman, whining about it a year later because she gave it away, probably for very obvious reasons. And then in the video, you've got to watch, it's kind of ending. He's whining, he's complaining about this woman who doesn't want his love, and then they're going up in a ski lift. When you've got a psychotic guy who's still whining about rejecting you or being rejected by you a year later, you don't want to go up into a high ski lift and just hope everything's going to be okay.
They just spent the whole weekend together.
But who is she with in the video? She's with his partner from... She's with Andrew Ridgely,
which
I'm embarrassed to say that I know the names of the boys from Wham, but I still have that in my memory. Steve, it's the worst video ever, isn't it? It's like five minutes of torture.
I'm with Rich. Yeah. I thought the video was pretty disingenuous. I'm not embarrassed for you about you knowing Andrew Ridgely. Actually, they were a good team. I mean, as far as 80s music goes, they were a pretty good team. It's just... not in this particular instance.
Well, you gotta have faith. Number two.
Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad. Prospero año y felicidad. Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad. Prospero año y felicidad.
Feliz Navidad. Let's see, who is that by? I lost it. It's
Jose
by some
Feliciano.
Jose Feliciano. Yeah. Thank you very much. Rich, tell us about this lovely tune.
It bores its way into your head and just stays there. As I wrote, if Dante had been alive during the same time as Jose Feliciano, he would have dedicated a circle of hell to that song. It just keeps going and going. It's like Feliciano wrote one-third of a song and said, you know what? Let's just record this on repeat. It's good. I don't need any more.
And then about halfway through, let's translate it and let's do it all over again.
Yes.
I don't know if you have the same fast food establishment down in Arkansas that we do up here, Rich, but this time of year they use that for their commercials, and we end up hearing the song probably a good 4 to 5 times more than a good part of the country does.
We do not. So I'm
okay.
Fortunate there, although I've been informed that my 3-year-old daughter is a fan of the song, so I might hear it a few more times than I want to.
Yes. Casey from Sioux Falls did send an email saying, a Christmas song I dislike even more than Paul McCartney's Simply Having a Wonderful Christmas Time is Jose Feliciano's Feliz Navidad. I think of it, doesn't go away, and the Taco John's commercial makes it much worse.
Excellent contribution.
Excellent contribution, Casey. And finally, the most controversial one, number one.
It's Christmas time. There's no need to be afraid. At Christmas time, we let in light and we banish it.
This is from 1984, Band-Aid, Do They Know It's Christmas, Sir Bob Geldof. Rich, why would this one be number one?
Because it's We Are the World, the Christmas edition. Yes, Sir Bob Geldof, have you and your other wealthy musician friends please lecture us in a continent about what's gone wrong, especially since it's his friends and cronies in the Labor Party that mostly contributed to the problems he's bemoaning. It's just, again, I do believe, I am more of a traditionalist. I believe in helping people. I believe in community. I don't believe in a bunch of overpaid gas bags lecturing me through songs. And that's why it was number one.
That's actually one of my favorite songs. I totally get the We Are the World point. There's a point in the song that reminds me of We Are the World. It's where Simon Le Bon comes in from Duran Duran in his squelching voice, just kind of, you know, you've got the guy from Spandau Ballet, you've got Paul Young, you've got Sting, and all these wonderful voices from pop, and then all of a sudden Simon Le Bon just comes in and kind of squelches and just puts a twist on it. Kind of like with We Are the World when Willie Nelson chimed in among all those pop greats.
Oh, I'm going to save Willie from that pop. Come on, you can't badmouth Willie Nelson here. And Bono is in this, and that makes me happy, so I like this song too. I don't see how you can dislike anything that Bono showed up for in 1984. But my big problem with this is there's no female singers. Did England not have any pop female singers? Bananarama gets to stand in the front of the chorus, and I don't think they really even count. Was there? It's all male.
So Sir Bob Geldof decided to bring the patriarchy down.
Right, he did.
There is a problem with it, even if you do like the song.
There probably are, so we could probably pick it apart for a while. But I do like the song. I'm going to confess to liking that one right along with Steve.
Well, I'm a child from the era, you know.
Right. It depends on how old you were when it came out.
Yes.
You were excited to see them all.
Yep.
Right. Paul Young was the one I couldn't remember. I saw him. I'm like, who is that? And he had a big song in 84, but I think he disappeared after that, didn't he?
He reappears on XM on Channel 33 every so often, but I haven't heard of Paul Young in ages.
Richard Cromwell, thank you so much for taking the time for us today. We appreciate that.
Hey, thank you for having me. Y'all have a Merry Christmas.
You as well. Richard Cromwell is a writer for The Federalist. If you want to spend more time with the worst songs of Christmas, I know that you do. We will put a link up on our website, sdpb.org/Dakota Midday. As always, you can also join the conversation on Facebook and Twitter. After the break, we'll keep laughing with Jill Johnson. You're listening to Dakota Midday on South Dakota Public Broadcasting.